The number of mortgage applications is up big time.
But how we apply for those mortgages and with whom could really change.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis.
And I'm Bill Radke. You're listening to the Midday Update from Marketplace.org. It's Wednesday, August 18th. The Mortgage Bankers Association says its index of mortgage applications rose 13% to the highest level in more than a year.
A lot of those new applications, thanks to low interest rates and refinancing. Coming up, we'll take a look at mortgage borrowing in the future. How big mining wants to be a part of big fertilizing, that's ahead, and a crude costume for Halloween, that's later. But first,
mining giant BHP Billiton has offered $40 billion for the Potash Corporation of Canada. The fertilizer firm has rejected that bid. It's a massive takeover attempt, and it has to do with the rising cost of commodities and food. Joining us live from London is Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Bill.
This mining company, BHP Billiton, is still pressing ahead with its rejected bid. Why are they so interested?
BHP, an Australian company, by the way, listed in London, is stuffed with cash. It's done very well out of the boom in mineral prices, largely thanks to Chinese demand. So it has the cash and the credit to expand, and it wants to diversify. There is a chance that China, BHP's biggest customer, could slow down. So BHP wants to diversify a bit away from industrial minerals, iron ore and so on, into other products.
And why this product? Why this fertilizer company, Potash? And by the way, Stephen, what is Potash?
Yes, a lot of people are asking the same question. It's a kind of salt. It's dug out of the ground, so it's a natural product for BHP, and it's a fertilizer. This looks very smart move by BHP. It's becoming increasingly obvious that the world needs to grow more food, so it'll need more fertilizer. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with Seven Investment. He says this takeover could be an insurance policy for BHP. HP, especially in its most important market.
China's burgeoning economy, even if it does slow down, will still have to feed its growing population. And its population is increasingly now looking towards not only just ordinary agriculture, but beef production as well. And all of this means demand for more fertilizers.
The head of the target company, Potash Corporation of Canada, says he reckons there'll be 10% more demand for potash next year. He's rejected BHP's bid as, quote, grossly inadequate. Other companies could now enter a bidding war. Some analysts say BHP is best placed to win, but it may have to increase its offer from $40 to $60 billion.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Follow-up to a meeting yesterday with Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, we're going to ask how to move forward with or without government-backed mortgage providers Fannie and Freddie in a way that doesn't hurt the housing market. With us to talk about the future of home loans in this country is Bloomberg Businessweek reporter Robin Farzad. He's with us live from New York. Morning, Robin.
Good morning.
So what exactly happened at yesterday's meeting with Secretary Geithner?
Just an open forum, effectively, where the government, the administration, admits that, look, this is a huge issue. We fess up that there's an unhealthy codependency between government financing and the mortgage market and an economy that's still very dependent on new home starts and the affordability of the American dream. So we're putting it out there. Give us your best tips.
And it seems like Fannie and Freddie each have this target, right? Do they have a future?
This is the difficulty. There's a future with a huge asterisk, and they may not even be named Fannie and Freddie. There were people out there as notable as Bill Gross, the manager of the largest bond shop in the world near you guys in Newport Beach, PIMCO, and he said that you just have to outright nationalize these companies. There's no use in pussyfooting around anymore. They're kind of living in this purgatory of conservatorship, which really nobody can really define for you in less than 5 minutes. So why not make the backing explicit and let the government come out and call it a day and say, look, we own mortgage finance, because that's already the de facto case.
Hey, Robin, if they go away, what replaces them? I mean, what would a Fannie-less world look like?
You're going to have to redefine the American dream effectively. If it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and home equity
and
for
home
everyone
equity, yeah.
right now, that's just not going to be the case anymore, because as we see a kind of a post-apocalyptic market right now, there are very few private options for those who are subprime and even borderline prime. You're going to see the mandates for down payments shoot up, you know, to 30, 40%. You're going to have a lot of people who thought they were homeowners be relegated to renting for a long time.
Robin Farzad, reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
As we just heard Robin say, things are going to change big time for government-backed mortgages. But in the meantime, the government, Fannie and Freddie's owners for now, is getting tougher on big banks to take responsibility for their bad loans. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live from Philadelphia to talk about it. Morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
Now, these loans, the government wants the banks to repurchase or take back. These were from immediately before the crisis, is that right?
That's right. This is 2006, 2007. And you remember, this was the period where you could essentially lie about your income, lie about having a job, and still get a mortgage. Or the mortgage lender could lie about it for you on the application. And we're talking about a massive number of toxic loans and really who's responsible for them. I talked to Bill Black. He's an economics professor at the University of Missouri. He's also a former financial regulator. And he says that Fannie and Freddie, now under new government management, are getting tougher.
It's starting that new management to require the relatively smaller players to repurchase. If it does it to the big guys, then it's going to be an enormous effect.
And again, those repurchases are requests to the banks to pay those loans, to be responsible for those loans. So imagine Citibank getting a bill for $150 billion from Fannie and Freddie. That's unlikely to happen.
Yeah. So what is then going to happen, Gregory?
I mean, there is some gamesmanship here. Banks fear that if they don't play ball and accept some of these requests, then Fannie and Freddie will stop buying mortgages from them. But the big banks don't want to face billions of dollars in losses. The Bank of America CEO called this a loan-by-loan fight, and that's a fight that could drag on for years.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner with us from Philadelphia. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to the Midday Update for Wednesday, August 18th. I'm Bill Radke. For the latest look at the markets, just go to the numbers at marketplace.org. Today, Facebook is expected to announce a new location-based service. Marketplace's Steve Henn says it'll probably use the GPS chip in your mobile phone to track your whereabouts.
Marketers dream of slipping into your pocket with your cell phone and following your every move with a mobile app that is always on. So,
Facebook does really well in the mobile environment.
Julie Osk at Forrester's Research says Facebook is ubiquitous, easy to use, and millions of folks check it constantly. But adding a geolocation feature has Jeff Chester at the Center for Digital Democracy worried.
I think consumers need to be very careful. So there are privacy concerns, there are personal security concerns.
And Chester has a host of questions. Will Facebook's users be enrolled in its location service automatically? How will location information be shared or stored? Will folks be able to opt out easily? He says before people sign up, they should take a second and imagine what life could be like if all their Facebook friends can follow their every move as they commute, go for drinks, or even play hooky from work. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The head of Google made a startling recommendation recently. He said people should be able to change their names to erase the embarrassment of their teenage online indiscretions. Well, many a college grad would probably make that move now that they're job hunting. But as Janet Babin reports, in a digital society, there are no do-overs.
It took me a while to write this story. First, I had to review my online persona. All clear. But if there were something compromising out there, who wouldn't want to erase the indiscretion of youth? Maybe Google CEO Eric Schmidt is right. We should all get new names when we get our first real job. Mark Rotenberg at the Electronic Privacy Information Center says that's an interesting position for Schmidt, since it's Google that stands to gain from our lost privacy.
His solution that people should have to change their names because his company is collecting and distributing too much personal information seems particularly unfair.
Schmidt's suggestion probably wouldn't work anyway. Software developer Matt Pizzamenti created an online tool to manage Facebook's privacy settings.
It's kind of a non-solution, right? I'm sure your new name would be just as easily linked to your old name and your friends still know who you are.
And so do your enemies. In a digital society, we may not be able to forget, but Pizzamenti suggests we could forgive. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Midday Update for Wednesday, August 18th. I'm Steve Chiatakis. For the latest look at the markets, check out the numbers at our website, marketplace.org. We're going to get a take now on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. Taiwan's legislature today approved a landmark free trade agreement with China. Now, the deal brings or will bring the economies of the two countries closer together than they've ever been for half a century. But the bigger news out of China today concerns its $2 trillion bond market. China's central bank says it'll open that market to foreign banks. What does that mean to you and me? Here's Marketplace's Shanghai Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz.
Why should you care that China is allowing foreign banks to invest in its bond market? The answer in a minute. First, I'll let economist Ben Simpfendorfer explain why allowing foreigners to trade more yuan, China's currency, is important for your bank.
Ultimately, it will lead to full internationalization of the yuan, and there the impact on foreign banks will be significant. The yuan will likely become a global settlement currency, just as the euro, the dollar, and the yen are.
This means China's currency will rise, and that will impact you in a couple of ways. You might, number one, find a job. Labor will become more expensive in China, and U.S. companies could move manufacturing back home. On the flip side, this means you'll most likely shell out more for everything, from flip-flops to iPhones. One economist is calling Beijing's move a big bang, saying this is the first of wider reforms that'll pave the way for a pile of foreign investment in China. Still, China is beginning with a quiet bang, a small trial program. An economist, Simpfendorfer, says it'll be years, if not decades, before China's currency is an international standard. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Researchers at the University of Scotland have developed a hopeful new biofuel, but the technology could raise some questions about driving with alcohol, literally. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports about how whiskey could replace gasoline.
The whiskey industry produces vast amounts of waste each year, and a new technology designed by the team at Edinburgh Napier University uses that waste to produce a fuel called butanol. Now, traditional biofuels require farmers to grow crops specifically for this new purpose, but with whiskey, the byproduct's already there. Professor Martin Tangney directed the research. He says Scotland's $6 billion whiskey industry is already well known.
In Scotland, we already generate this biomass, so we have a choice of how we dispose of it, and here's a way of generating significant fuel from this.
Tangney says it won't supply the entire world, but it could contribute significantly to European biofuel goals. The beauty of butanol is that it's 30% more powerful than the most common biofuel, ethanol, and you won't even need to change your car's gas tank to use it. Plus, there'll be no concern if you fill up on this stuff at the gas station. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, maybe British oil giant BP thought its PR nightmare was fading after the oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. But with a scary date coming up, Halloween, costume designer Fun World has introduced its official BP oil spill outfit.
Now, AOL Bill says the company actually modified its classic killer mechanic costume. You probably remember that, right?
Sure.
Frightening. Featured a blood-stained blue jumpsuit and oversized wrench. Fun World changed the color of the jumpsuit to green, tacked on the letters BP, changed the blood into oil, and kept the big pipe wrench. But it added an oil-covered rubber fish.
Okay. You have to have the rubber fish.
You got to, or it doesn't work.
Yeah, it just doesn't add up. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
And I'm Steve Chiatakis. You're listening to the Marketplace Midday Update.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.